Hey, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. We are doing a sermon rewind. We are in the book of Romans. I want you to stick through all the way to the end as we go into this past weekend's message. I'm here with Pastor Dan.
Hey.
My name is Antonio, and we are so happy that you are here with us for another episode. Man, what encouragement we always get either at the back door or in the comments. Man, it's a privilege to go through and really just to, again, rewind the message, but get to pulled everything out of that. We thank you for taking the time, Pastor Dan. We know you have lots of things going on, but again, the feedback that we get, it's just been great to be helpful to really, again, it's a supplemental thing into the message, and we don't always get to get into the minds of a preacher and the message, and so doing this has been helpful. We were just on the live and got some love from there, but again, we want to welcome you. This is kind of like a holiday edition or a Thanksgiving edition.
Thanksgiving edition.
It's the Wednesday Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah, at the time of this recording, for those of you that are listening in the future.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's good in the future. But yeah.
Let us know how it is.
Yeah, amazing. Send us a message. At the time of this recording, it's Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah.
Right? We're getting ready for communion tonight. And love Thanksgiving, love giving of thanks.
That's right.
And grateful for our nation that sets aside a day to do this. It's funny because I have texted friends in other nations.
Right.
Pastor friends and things like that I'm in relationship with. And I'm happy Thanksgiving. Yeah. And they're like, this is a wonderful text.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for saying this. Like, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they don't do this on the same day we do.
You just think
the whole world is giving thanks. They're not. They're not thankful.
Well, I remember I studied abroad after university, and I was over there during Thanksgiving time. And, I mean, I was in Mexico, and there's not Thanksgiving there.
Yeah.
But I was with the foreign students, and so the Americans, we got together, and we had, like, a big old meal and stuff like that.
No turkey though, huh?
No turkey. Not the usual fixings.
Right.
Tacos and stuff. No, but it was fun. I do have a Thanksgiving question, but before I get into like your favorite meal, we're not into the segment of the rewind yet.
Okay.
But it does have something to do with the message because you referenced something in the message about a meal and maybe not liking the meal. So we just got to know. I think we're all suspensefully. Was this like an incident or is there a story behind this?
So, you know, yeah, there is some real life experience mixed into that illustration about how, you know, when somebody wants you to try their thing that they bring, you know, and I mixed in casseroles,
right.
But it had more to do with, you know, the veggie dishes and things like that. You know, and I am a texture guy. That's real.
Okay, yeah. So do you not do Jell-O and puddings and stuff?
I like Jell-O.
Okay.
In fact, my grandma in Thanksgiving used to make this. It's like strawberry Jell-O with real strawberries in
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
And then
the
like
cream? Like a Cool Whip or something like that?
It was like sour cream.
Oh, wow.
Something crazy like
that.
Okay. Yeah, no, and it was a layer of the Jell-O with the strawberries and I think pineapple chunks.
Okay.
A layer of the sour cream and then another layer of the Jell-O on top. So you get like this red, white, red.
Yeah, okay.
Delicious.
Wow.
Absolutely delicious. So that was one of my favorite meals growing up was that dish, you know, and that was kind of a staple at our Thanksgiving.
Right.
And oftentimes, you know, trying to save it to the last, you'd have it next to your turkey or something like that. Your turkey would get stained with the red, from that. And so, you know, anyways. But, yeah, so that was one of those things. I don't like mushy vegetables. I like them firm.
Even mashed potatoes.
I do like mashed potatoes. Okay. Yeah, potatoes are different, though.
But there is a thicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's not mushy per se. Yeah.
No. So like if you give me mushy carrots versus firm carrots that are still cooked or steamed or something like that, I like the firm.
Okay.
You know, like
same
thing with broccoli.
Right.
Anything like that. So when people are like, you got to try this. And it's mushy. I'm just like, even though the flavor might be there.
Yeah. The face you made looked too real. The one, you know, you kind of talked about sampling and how that might look. And I was like, oh, you've done that before.
No. Yeah. And literally people are staring at you like, And you're like, inside you're dying. You're like, I love you and I don't want to hurt your heart.
Yes.
But this is not for me.
Because they made and they just want you to love it. Right. And,
of course.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes you think about how, you know, in the movies, how they would have the kid or whatever, put it in the napkin and then underneath and the dog would come and get it.
For sure. No, or I think of that scene in that movie where they're all eating the turkey that exploded and they're like throwing it over their shoulder and, you know, chewing it with their little teeth, you know, kind of, and there's all these gritty noises and clinking around. They're sipping it down with water and all that. So, yeah.
Help it go down. Well, so do you have an ultimate Thanksgiving? Like, what's, if you get a 8-inch plate, smaller plate,
oh man,
what's going on that plate?
I mean, definitely turkey.
Okay.
Like at least one piece of the white meat and a smaller piece of the dark meat.
Yeah.
You know, so doing that, we're doing the mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah.
Got to have that. I mean, if it's only 8 inches, stuffing's
gonna go.
There's no stuff. Yeah, I mean,
there's not room for that.
I like it. I'll eat it, but you know, unless it's like bomb.
Yeah.
We're not going there.
Right.
We're gonna get. Gosh, what are the staples? I'm thinking through it.
Yeah.
Because just the meat and potatoes would be,
right.
You know, enough. You know, some people like the yams or the sweet potato, mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah. You know that. Again,
what about ham? Do you do ham?
So ham, right. Ham is like a Christmas thing for me.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was just again my grandma, you know. So and no,
she set up the traditions.
It wasn't like we buy the honey bake. She would like do the ham.
Oh yeah.
With the cloves, I mean, literally, she would put all the spices and the honey and everything together. Yep. And I remember, it might be too much, but when she got older, she was a little heavy on the cloves, and I don't know if it was just. Well, you know,
grandma's a little older now.
Yeah, but no. So that was more Christmas. But if there is ham, there's ham going on the plate. You know what I mean? If there's
we got turkey, ham, we got mashed potatoes.
And then if we're in a Friendsgiving environment and somebody brought tamales, there's a tamale going on.
Okay,
you know,
sure.
and I'm more of a chicken or a green chili and cheese.
Right. Okay.
To all our listeners who want to give Pastor Dan a gift this Christmas,
now you know it's like at the door that the tamales will be
pork,
there.
Yeah.
And you—that's what you has to be one of your favorite parts of pastoring in San Bernardino.
Well, you know, you would think, but I don't know. Our congregation's been slipping the past couple of years. So
this is come on, guys. What? And maybe they don't want the face. Maybe it's like, we don't know if you like it. That's true.
No. And so that's going on there. I do have to say this: if Pastor Jess made green bean casserole. That's going on the plate.
Okay,
and she doesn't make it like other people. So there's a certain style of green beans. It has to be those the French style cut where it's kind of shredded green beans, cream cheese, a can of cream of mushroom soup, and then the French's crispy onions on the top.
Okay.
So some people make them different and they like it.
Yeah.
I've been ruined by this recipe.
Right.
You know?
Well,
same thing with the sweet potatoes. You know, Pastor Deborah got a hold of Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, which is so hard to say.
You told me about that one.
Yes.
And we went on our first anniversary.
I remember.
And I don't think I've ever been the same from that sweet potato.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's like 2 cups of sugar, you know, so
it's really
kind of like your Kool-Aid as a child, you know.
Put it in.
Just keep it rolling.
Well, we're getting ourselves hungry. We're not here to talk about Thanksgiving meals.
Is there, real quick before we jump in, is there any unique things that I mean, you heard my plate. Would you add or subtract?
Yeah. So Angelina started making mac and cheese.
Ooh.
And she makes a mean mac and cheese.
Okay.
And so I put mac and cheese on there. ham, turkey, mac and cheese. We do corn. I like some corn.
Creamed or regular?
Regular.
Okay, yeah.
My sister-in-law brings creamed. I prefer just regular because I throw it on. I'm not a big gravy guy.
Really?
Yeah, so.
Not even on your mashed potatoes?
Not even. You know, I think the thought of it, I recently tried it, and I'm actually opening my mind.
Because if the turkey's dry, there's gravy going on the turkey.
Which I did, you know, I don't want to keep going. But I did hear something like turkey is always. Although one year we did do a deep fried turkey, and that was pretty good.
Deep fried is yeah. I did a smoked turkey recently.
That is really good too.
And man, so juicy. That's
and then I like the crisp, the outside.
Yeah. In fact, I just made one this year for Friendsgiving.
Yeah.
And somebody just came up and grabbed the skin and just started eating. Yeah. I'm like, it's like chips, huh? Yeah. Like, wow.
My kids like the skin.
Wow.
Anyways.
All right. So jumping in the message.
Yeah. Talking about from good meal to good meal. Nice. That was a good meal. This weekend was good meal.
Awesome.
As we got into Romans chapter 3, verse 5 through 8, I think, is where we were kind of chunking off at.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the questions that made me think about Pastor Dan, because it paralleled. And there's another place in Scripture where it talks about, I think it's And I don't know if it's later in Romans, but grace, where grace might abound more, would we sin?
So there's a very similar
language. Similar passage, and it reminded me of that. But anyway, they were talking about, hey, for the goodness of God, should we sin so that God can look good?
Yeah.
Right? And it made me think about, like, if you're playing sports or you're singing or something, like, you want to keep someone around you that's not as good so that you look better.
My gosh.
Right? So it's like, oh, so does God need us to keep messing up so he keeps looking good?
Right.
And that's what the passage made me think of.
Which there's an obvious answer, you know?
Right, and I love how you broke the part down. Like, if we stopped the question here, should we sin?
Should we sin?
And then keep going. Like, so, and we got to go through a sermon around these concepts that I thought was really good. But in this rewind, what I'd like to focus on, because we talked about the goodness and showing God's goodness and right. his faithfulness. And you went through a couple things. I wrote it down because I wanted to make sure. And you talked about the contrasting. And I thought this contrast where either our lies versus God's truth,
yes,
our unfaithfulness versus God's faithfulness. And the last one that you talked about was our kind of, for lack of a better words, our suckiness at just being not good at times versus God's continual goodness.
Right. Yeah. I think I used the term evil.
Right. Oh,
our evil versus God's good. Yeah.
Suckiness, evil.
Suckiness is evil, I guess. Well,
trying to be nice. I don't know if there was evil, but yeah. So versus God's goodness.
Yes.
So give us a little, if you had to do a 2-minute message.
Oh my.
Or maybe a 3-minute, 5-minute message.
Don't give a preacher a minute, man.
What would that look like, right? Because, again, that was kind of one of the questions I had. You know, we're seeing this passage, and I thought, you know, this is a really rich.
Right.
Hence the rich meal.
I think the less time you give, the more the big concept has to come forward and be pushed forward. And really that is that you know, the emphasis of what the apostle is saying is that evil doesn't make God look any better.
That's good. See,
so God is already as good as he's ever going to be. He can't be any more perfect. He mm-hmm. can't be any more good. He can't be any more loving than he already is. He loves us as much as he's ever going to love us right now. You know?
I mean, we can't earn it. We can't, you know.
And I think that's, you know, I've actually, you know, we've done this a few times in the podcast, forecasting for the future. We're getting ready to go into some massive ideas, you know, propitiation, redemption, justification. There's some massive words that carry a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about doing a series called What's the Big Idea? Mm. Either that or maybe like, you know, Crash Course in Redemption with the Big Idea, something like that. So we'll see where that plays out. If you've got a sermon title, series title that goes along with that catchy way, post in the comments, and we'd love to hear that. But so I'm thinking about going into something like that. But with that, the big idea here is that God is good, right? And and it's a part of his nature. Jesus said, "There's none good but God," right? Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. So good is what God says good is.
Yep.
And not what we think or what we feel. Situationally, good doesn't change. It has to be absolute because God is absolute. He's truth, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus is the person of truth, and he's the Word of God. So Jesus, in his essence and nature, is good as well.
Right.
And so he wasn't saying, "I'm not good." He was saying, "Why do you call me good?"
Right?
Yeah. To the rich young ruler at the time. So that's where, when we take a look at what's good and when we take a look at what's evil, we think that because we can be better and we're made in the image of God, that God can be better, which is not the case, right? Because God is perfect. So we would have to ascend rather than try and bring God down to our level, right? Which is what idolatry in its essence is. We're bringing God down to a level that he's not at, where the image of man or a beast or whatever, and worshiping the creation rather than creator, which is in essence evil. Mm. And so our evil, anything contrary to the will and way of God, does not make God look any better because God can't get any better. He's perfect.
Right.
He's as good as he's ever going to be. So that means that we should not do evil for the purposes of making God look better, because we should not do evil.
Right?
And I think that's what it boils down to in its essence. You know, our goodness and our character flaws don't promote. Now, we did say this. It's an unintended consequence or an unintended, you know, you know, it's almost serendipitous, if you will, that we find that our evil does contrast with the goodness of God, and God is seen as good because of that. Man is really evil, but thank God, God's good, right? Yeah. So we can see that clearly, but it doesn't make it okay
right.
for us to sin or right. to do evil in order to exemplify God's goodness.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, I think it's great. It's encouraging to know that the questions 2,000 years ago are not different than the questions we have
absolutely.
Today. Like, could we do that? Because a lot, I mean, as
people
pastors, we know like, hey, but can we do this? Essentially asking how close to the line can we get or how much can I give into my flesh and not be bad
right.
in God's eyes?
Right. Or even I want to go full bore into the right. flesh and right. still receive the benefit
right.
and
right.
the blessing of God's goodness and grace.
Yeah.
Which then is even, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and I think that the Word of God would, you know, prove this to be true, that is more of a grievous evil
right.
than skirting the line or
yeah.
that sort of a thing. When people are taking the grace of God and they're using it for their own
yeah.
distortion mm-hmm. and perversion and whatever
right.
else, that they're literally smacking in the face of God. And you know, the book of Hebrews uses the words trampling the blood of Jesus underfoot, trampling the Son
right.
of God underfoot, you know,
right.
that we're literally stepping on him.
Right. Versus doing something in ignorance versus knowingly and willingly
right. Right.
doing something.
And there are levels of punishment that we see
right.
in the word. And I believe that there's also, right, all sin is sin.
Yeah.
Right. Whether it's a little white lie that some people, oh, it's just a small thing, you know, versus murder and things like that. It's all sin and it's all evil, but at the same time, with that, you know, there are levels. We understand that there are levels of punishment.
Mm-hmm.
There's levels of reward,
right.
things like that. And so, some sin is worse than other sin
yep.
in its effect and in its, you know, nature, I guess you could say. And so that's where we get into, you know, some theological thoughts about,
yeah.
you know, well. Is that sin worse than any other sin? Sin is sin,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
But the punishment for that sin is going to be worse because
yeah.
that sin in its nature and effect
right.
is worse.
So a little bit on a rabbit trail there, and then maybe explain to us, I don't know, it would be a distinction or difference, contrast between punishment and natural consequence. Because I know I've talked
sure.
like, there's natural consequence to our sin.
Absolutely.
It's washed by the blood, but we still live out natural consequence. Right, you sleep around. There are some consequences that can happen
sure.
from that, STDs, things of that nature.
Yeah.
And then punishment. When you talk about punishment, is that something? So again, you hear like, "Oh, I'm going through this thing in life. It must God's punishing me for my sin." Are those the consequences? Is that punishment, or where is this punishment taking place?
Well, let me add another word: chastening.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Right. And
right.
I think that's another word that
who
Christians
he loves, he chastens.
Right. Christians right. need to understand the chastening of the Lord. And most of the time what that is the godly sorrow that comes with it,
yeah.
as well as the correction of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then yes, God allowing us to go through the consequence
mm-hmm.
for that sin, because
yeah.
In his kindness to us,
yeah.
he allows our experience
yeah.
to be, and he can't go back on his word either. Right.
Yeah.
So what you reap, you sow.
Mm-hmm.
Now the punishment.
Yeah.
was carried out on Jesus on the cross for our
right,
sin.
Right.
The consequence is what we go through. And the chastening, like I said, is that godly sorrow.
Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit being grieved. And
right,
he lives in us. And so we're
yeah.
going to feel his grief.
Right.
We're going to feel that terrible feeling of, gosh, I've you know, hurt God's heart.
Yeah.
And then as well, you know, the Word of God will chasten us. When we read the Word, it's going to convict us. It's not going to condemn us.
Yeah.
There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? But there is conviction of the Holy Spirit that says, hey, that's wrong, and this is why.
Yeah.
So that's the discipline of God that's on us. But as well with that, what we've sown will reap. Like you said,
mm-hmm.
it may be
mm-hmm.
STDs. It might be, hey, we're having a baby. You know,
right,
there's some things that,
right.
that could happen from those things. But as well, just feeling awful.
Right.
Yeah. And that's probably the biggest one is most people
yeah.
recognize, gosh, I've done the wrong thing.
Yeah. Right.
I feel awful about this. And then when they read the scriptures, all of a sudden every scripture is speaking to that situation,
yeah.
you know, and they're
yeah.
like, oh my gosh, they're reading scriptures on holiness.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeing the word and the word is multifaceted in its application.
Mm-hmm.
It's got one interpretation, but many applications.
Right.
So you could be reading in a section of scripture that doesn't deal with that thing, but the Spirit can quicken it to you. Like, hey, look at this,
yeah.
you know, and just in those instances, you find yourself, man, I just happened to be reading in the Psalms and came to where David is repenting from
yeah.
sleeping
yeah.
with Bathsheba. And
yeah.
I just, wow, you
mm-hmm.
know, I really felt that and I understood it in a deeper way.
Right.
You know,
because I think many people can relate to this concept because that's where we're at oftentimes.
Yeah.
Right. We're living our lives. We go through things. We love God.
Yes.
We don't want to grieve God's heart.
Yeah.
And no one wants to be chastened, right? And define no. chastened for us for a little bit. I know it's a
discipline.
Really,
right. I think that's the thing. It's just like a father disciplines their son.
Yeah.
You know, or a mother disciplines their, right. their daughter or their child, you know, whatever, or vice
versa.
And so
that could be, again, God chastens us by, kind of, again, I think of, in the picture, I think of, you know, the correction, the discipline.
Yeah.
But how might this play out in our life?
So, you know, let's say you're you know, scenario on the job, you're there, you're working, and the boss comes by and says, hey, guys, you guys have been slacking off.
Yeah.
And I need you to get back to work and work harder. And you've been working very hard. You don't understand why you're being lumped in with everybody else.
Right.
And so you after the boss leaves, you talk about them behind their back, right?
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Now, after the words leave your mouth and the frustration is out, right?
Yeah.
You think, good, I said what I needed to say, but then the spirit inside you is grieved.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I just slandered my boss.
Yeah.
Right? So you feel bad about it. So you have a choice to make then, okay? What do I do with that? And the spirit will quicken that to your heart as well. Hey, confess your sin, 1 John 1:9, right? So you confess to God, I said the wrong thing, I did the wrong thing. Then the scripture is going to come back to you. Hey, make reparations for that. Well, how do I do that? I got to go talk to all the people that heard me say that. Hey, guys, I did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I said the wrong thing. I said that in frustration. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, like, please forgive me. And then if it got back around to the boss, you may have to go to the boss and say, hey, listen, I know that you heard what I said. I was wrong.
Yeah.
Please forgive me, you know? And, but, okay, so that's the chastening. You feel bad. Godly sorrow leads to repentance.
Yeah.
You repented. You had a change of heart and mind. You turned from your way and you went God's way.
Yeah.
Now, the consequence, right, for that sin.
Come on.
We know that the punishment for the sin was taken out on Jesus on the cross, right? The consequence for that sin may be that you've lost trust with the boss, that your witness has been damaged with the people that are unsaved around you.
Yeah.
And you might have to spend time rebuilding trust and rebuilding confidence in that witness.
Right?
Now, for others, that witness may be even greater because they thought, wow, that Christian just apologized.
Yeah.
They're real.
Yeah.
Man, if that's, well, I guess if they're not perfect, I don't have to be perfect to become a Christian. I thought I had to, you know, have it all together, you know. So God can use those things.
Yeah.
Again, we're not sinning to give God more glory, but God will use every situation
that's
and work it all together for good, right?
Yeah.
Now, let's switch that scenario for a second. There's an ungodly person, an unbeliever, right? The boss says that, and they slander the boss behind his back. They feel no remorse. They feel like, good, I did what I needed to do. Even though their conscience may tell them, you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
They've seared their conscience, right? And so they've slandered their boss, and where's the punishment?
Mm-hmm.
If they're not trusting in Christ for their salvation, the punishment or the wrath, we understand, is being stored up for the day of his return.
Right.
And that poor punishment will be poured out on them, right?
Right?
Eternally. And so that's where punishment, we understand for the believer, it's been taken out on Christ, but we still go through the consequence, and we still go through chastening.
Right.
For the unbeliever, they don't have the Spirit of Christ in them. So they're not going to be chastened. They're not a son.
Which is a picture of the power of salvation, because everything that is being stored up gets washed away.
Absolutely.
And we become new creations.
Yes.
And everything that was going to be poured now gets transferred.
To Christ.
To Christ.
Yes.
And good. Well, and I wanted to go off a little bit. I'm glad that you gave that example, because this is what I was trying to get to. Because I talked to people many times, and it's like, oh, God is just, or this is the enemy. The devil is, you know, things at the job. I don't know why I'm getting picked on.
Mm.
And they don't identify the time that they were talking mess on their boss.
Yeah.
Or how they've lost trust with people. People don't like me at my job. It's because I'm, you know, I'm under persecution, and make these very spiritual sounding things.
Right.
And the devil is against me. And I would wonder many times it could just be the consequence of our fault, our sin. You've shown yourself not trustworthy at work. People don't like working with you. It's not because you're a Christian. It's because you're slacking off or you're lazy and they have to carry you. And it has nothing to do with, like, oh, but I just talk about Jesus all day. Yeah, can you talk about Jesus less and help pick up the pace?
Right.
Right. You know, like, I mean,
or
you know, if you're supposed to clean and, you know, if you work, I remember working at a fast food place, and end of the night, we just want to shut down and start cleaning and go through our protocols. And if I was just there like, oh my gosh, let me tell you about the goodness of God. Like, I don't want to hear about the goodness of God right now. Let's do our thing so
I
we can
go home. Yeah.
So, I'm glad because I think that can help many of us.
Yeah.
So that we don't misconstrue and give improper credit to the enemy and persecution when we can identify what God is speaking
to us.
Well,
I think for those that might be, you know, in that situation of is it the devil? Is it God?
Right.
Is it me?
Yeah.
You know, is it just, you know, reaping where I've sown, that sort of a thing? You know, there are some beautiful moments in the Bible. I think of Psalm 139. Where it talks about how God made us and we can't flee from his spirit. But then right at the end, you know, the last couple of verses, you find that he says, search me, O God, and try me, test me, and know my anxious thoughts and reveal any evil way in me and lead me in the way everlasting.
Right.
You know, there was an openness to be examined and to be shown because God knows us intimately, right? The Bible says that everything's open and exposed before God with whom we have to do. We're going to give an account of our lives to God. The Apostle Paul said to test yourself.
Yep.
He said to watch lest you fall. Watch lest you fall into the same temptation as others that you're helping, right? And so I think that's where if we're going through a hard time, if we're feeling some kind of way, you know, in the midst of life, and whether it's at home or on the job or in the community, even at church, what is this, God? Help me to understand. God may show you you're being persecuted and the devil is after you.
Right.
God may show you. You have sinned,
right,
and you're really off.
That's good.
God may show you, hey, this isn't you. This is what other people are going through, you know, and that sort of a thing. So situationally, it could be any of those things. But if you find yourself where God starts to convict, again, not condemn, convict you, that, hey, you need to stop, you know, gabbing so much.
Yeah.
You're putting Jesus on it, but really you're lazy, you know, get to work.
Yeah.
There's some beautiful scriptures about working with our hands, that which is good. If you don't work, you don't eat. I mean, this New Testament stuff, right?
All that we do it unto the Lord, glorify not as man pleasers.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think that's great passion. And that can be freeing for so many of us that get hung up on the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And our flesh, the last thing we're going to do is look at ourselves.
Right.
But as you were saying that, it reminded me of this oldie but goodie. Do you remember that song is Clean My Heart, Oh God, Make It Ever True? I don't know if it's clean or cleanse. May I be like you.
Yes.
Anyways, that's if I was Pastor Joe, I would really, for you alone are worthy. You alone.
Anyways, it's a great song.
But that leads us kind of to the next part, you know, the dishonesty with ourselves. And you talked about lies.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
And our lies versus God's truth, and speak only God's truth.
Yeah.
Versus our lies. Unpack that a little bit more. I mean, I know you gave an example of even our flesh. You know, you gave that picture of those things that can be, you know, Jesus. The crucifixion was a long thing. And
right. Takes time to die.
Yeah. It takes time to die. And as we starve our flesh and we make sure that we're only telling God's truths, not our lies.
Right.
And because those are the hangups that the snares, to use a biblical term, that we'll get caught up in these snares of our lies versus God's truth.
I think the biggest thing about that is just to understand that lies are more than what our words are saying.
Right.
It can be what we live.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the 1 John scripture comes in.
Yeah.
I think it was 6 and 7, where it talks about walking in the light as he is in the light.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful statement, right?
Right.
But that's really the heart and the intent of God. That's why God redeemed us, mm-hmm. was so that he could be with us.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be in the midst of his people. And not like he was with Israel in the Old Testament. He was in the midst of his people. But then God was with us in Christ.
Yep.
But now God is in us through the Holy Spirit. And that was his ultimate desire, was intimacy,
mm-hmm.
right? That there would be a walk together.
Yeah.
And that's where when we live the lie of this world, then we're going to be against God. And that doesn't bring God any glory, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we'll walk in the light, if we'll live out our lives in the truth of God's word, with our words and our deeds, that's going to bring God the glory.
Yep.
But the best part of it is that we get to have fellowship with God.
Yeah.
Right? We get to live a life of intimacy with him. That the world they just can't even fathom what that's like. But that's where they see the difference. And that's where they bring God glory, is because they go, wow, look at your life, man. You're being held together when everything else is a mess.
Yep.
Aren't you concerned about these layoffs? Why aren't you concerned about the war? Why aren't you concerned about the economy? Because I've got God, right? You know, and it's a glorious statement to be able to express the intimacy that we have with God. That like, hey, I've got peace. I know the Creator.
Yeah.
I know Him personally.
Right.
He woke me up this morning. You know, like, I mean, just like it just blows my mind personally.
Yeah.
The privilege we have as Christians and believers to be able to have that sort of a fellowship with God, to talk to Him about anything, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've got people are paying thousands of dollars to see counselors. We've got the greatest counselor.
Yeah, yeah.
People are looking for life coaches. We've got a guide,
right?
People are looking for wisdom in every place they possibly can. You know, I can't tell you how many people life hack and this and that. And I learned it on, you know, Instagram Reels or whatever it is, you know, and they're getting all this stuff. And so we've got the greatest one within us to be able to show us the way to do life. Yeah. You know, you want a life hack, you want wisdom. God's got it. It's the Spirit of wisdom living on the inside of us.
Well, why do you think it is, for myself included, that sometimes, and I know the answer is that we'd rather have it spoon fed to us, right? In other words, I guess I'm answering.
I'm like, because we're lazy.
Right. Like, we'd rather have someone tell us than, because we got to go mine it, is the thought that comes to mind.
It takes time. Right. You know, it takes effort. You know, the flesh is lazy.
Right.
And I think that's the thing is that we'll take, like water, the path of least resistance. Right. You know, we don't want to go to our prayer closet.
Right.
We don't want to wait.
Right.
We don't want to read. You know, we want to just watch a video that's 15 seconds long.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden understand the mysteries of life.
It almost makes me think like this. This happens in my house a lot. Like, go ask Dad. Never mind then. Right? Like, hey, I want to do this. Go to mom or whoever might be the, you know, the easiest on the answer that you want. Like, oh, I don't know about that. Well, go ask your dad.
Right.
Never mind then. I don't want, because you like, oh, because they're going to say this, or they're going to, like, so in other words, going to Father God. And like, well, I want this. Like, but okay, then go to the Holy Spirit. No, I'd rather just get it from this.
Sure.
Is there a TikTok for that? Is there an Instagram reel for that?
Here's a great illustration. Every person listening to this podcast, including us.
Right.
You can be a millionaire.
Right.
I can be a millionaire? Yes, you can be a millionaire. How do I do that? Right. Here's how. You work hard and you save a little bit every paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you steward the rest, right?
Yeah.
You can be a millionaire. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
That's going to take decades.
Yeah.
I'll go buy a lottery ticket.
Right. Yeah. No, that's perfect.
You know what I mean? Like, God's way is
he
proven
outlines it.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, but conventional wisdom, which God created, right? I don't want that. I don't want to work hard. I don't want to save. I don't want to steward.
Right.
I want to buy a lottery ticket and in a moment be a millionaire. Mm-hmm. But what we forget is that in the process of stewardship, in the process of saving, in the process of denying ourselves simple pleasures and things that we would want so that we can save, that there's character developing in us so that when we're a millionaire, we can properly handle the things. So it's no different with God, right? I want the most amazing, most handsome or beautiful spouse to be just delivered to me. And I want them to be perfect and God to say, hey, work on you first.
Right.
You become the person that person needs.
Yep.
And I'll bring them along at the right time, right?
Yes.
Through the process of time.
Right.
And in the right way.
So God doesn't want to withhold things.
No.
He wants us to be able to handle the things that he gives us.
Yes. God wants us blessed more than we want to be blessed.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
It's so good because it paints that picture. Because God doesn't want me to have it, so I got to go get it. Or he just doesn't like me, or he's just mad at me.
He wants you to have it, but he doesn't want it to crush you.
Exactly.
You can't carry the weight of the blessing that God wants to pour out on you. So you've got to get stronger now. Where's the hanky? In order to handle the blessing in your future.
Yeah.
So that's why the process of growth is so necessary and so important.
Yeah.
And yet, we can't be impatient with the process.
Yeah. Yep.
Joseph couldn't have stewarded Egypt if he hadn't first stewarded Potiphar's house and the prison.
Right. So God didn't make those things happen, but he used them.
Absolutely.
And I think those are the confusing parts along the process. This is what he was always going to do, right? He he gave him the dream.
Yeah.
It was from God. It was good as done. He didn't make all the steps, but he used all the steps.
So, yeah. So in the statement Joseph makes at the end of all that, he says, you meant it for evil.
Right. Right.
But God intended it for good.
Yeah.
To save many.
Yes.
Right? So we can see how God uses the things that we go through.
Mm-hmm.
And how God in his foreknowledge allows us to go through those painful processes.
Right.
That's not a punishment.
Yeah.
That's a strength training.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that when the blessings come,
mm-hmm.
we'll be able to carry the weight of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and to kind of, as we land the plane, and it, I think it succinctly comes to a close for us with the closing point with his goodness.
Yeah.
Right? And how we see good done through it. And his faithfulness. I know you gave an example after the second service of what we of what we experienced right away with the fruit of goodness of God.
Yeah, amazing.
But maybe you want to kind of go in what the pin the I don't know the land the plane on that last point.
So again, sometimes truth evades us because it's so simple that it's glaring,
mm-hmm.
right? If I want to show you something light.
Mm-hmm.
I should put a light on.
Right.
If I want to show you something dark, I should turn the light off.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, you don't show God's goodness
right.
through evil or darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You show God's goodness by being good.
It's good.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not being good to get saved. I'm not being good out of law.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing and being good out of nature, because I have the nature of God in me, which
yeah.
God is good again.
Yeah.
So if I'm allowing his nature to move through me, then I'm going to show that nature by doing the works of God, right? Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be in faith. You would follow God. You'd be obedient, those sorts of things. So, you know, if we're going to show a red wall, then we need to get red paint, right?
Yep.
It seems so simple, but at the same time, that's really what it is. If we are the people of God, let's show God through our lives.
Right.
And I think that's really, if you know, and I wish I had that statement this weekend. I should have just, hey,
yeah, there you go.
Sermon, not recap, add-on, sermon add-on here.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, if we have the nature of God, let's show God through our lives.
Yeah.
And it seems so simplistic, and yet it's the reality of what God is speaking to us, that hey, I'm on the inside of you, let me out.
Mm-hmm.
How?
Right.
Through your life. You do yeah. good because God is good
mm-hmm.
and he's living in you. You know, there's so many scriptures about Jesus living his life through our life, right?
Yep.
I've been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20, no longer I that live, but Christ lives within me.
Mm-hmm.
Christ who lives within me.
Yep.
The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. Our faith, what we believe, will dictate what we behave.
All right. It's good.
Or how we behave, I guess
yeah.
is the problem.
Yeah.
Sorry for all the people judging my grammar right now. So,
no, that's great. I think that's so good, Pastor Dan. I know that, and again, we'll see the fruit of it sometimes right away, sometimes longer.
Yeah.
But God sees it.
And that's the patient endurance.
Right, the patient
of the
endurance. So good. Previews into upcoming
So,
scriptures?
Yeah, I think we got a part two coming this weekend. I hadn't planned on it, but
yeah,
I think we're going there and just the thought of the utter sinfulness of sin is just going to be pounded. And we might take a big chunk and get to.
Yeah.
And like I said in the preview, we've got either a crash course in redemption or what's the big idea or something coming that's a lot larger. Big concepts, you know what I mean? So, again, if you have ideas on some sermon titles, post it in the comment section.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll use yours.
Yeah, love it. Well, thank you, Pastor Dan, again, for taking the time. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We love you guys. Share, like, comment, that thumbs up, subscribe. Those are all great things.
And if I could say, we are very grateful for all of you, our viewers and listeners. Thank you guys for your support. Thanks for all the great comments at the back door. We give God thanks for you, and we appreciate and love you all.
God bless you.